The grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Not seeing you very well this morning. That light that's shining through the window, just hope there'll be sufficient light emanating from the the pulpit this morning. But it's good to be back amongst you, friends, on this Lord's Day, a tumultuous week in the life of our nation, on top of any personal challenges that we may be facing at this time. And we come here not to escape those challenges, but to realize the presence of our God in the midst, to recognize that there is a wisdom that we need in all our lives to go forward, and that we can be sure of His presence in the good days and the bad. So the blessings of the Lord's Day lie before us. And if you're a visitor with us this morning, we extend a warm welcome to you. If you have time after the service, tea and coffee is served in the large hall. But now let us worship God as we realize the presence of our risen Lord in singing, Christ is alive and the universe must celebrate. Friends, these are the words of the psalmist who says, I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that when the light dawned upon this day, we could join with our brothers and sisters throughout the land and throughout the world, to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And we pray that as we gather together as your people in this place, that as we realize the presence of your Holy Spirit, as He enables us to sing your praise, to join together in prayer, and to open our minds to your word, that we would find reason to rejoice today, that Christ is alive, that our Lord Jesus is present in our midst, that He's moving amongst us, that He is opening up the gift of grace for each one of those whom He deems worthy of His death. And so we're glad that if there is anxiety in our minds over anything, that He can breathe into us His peace. We thank you that if there is any doubt in our souls in this moment, faith being unstable, that He can breathe into us His strength. And we thank you that if there be any fear within our minds and hearts concerning the future, that He can draw near to open up His vision for all things at the end of history's course, when it will be shown that He is in command, that He will draw the worship of all the nations, and that within His kingdom we will find a secure and lasting place. So bless us, dear Lord, with all these great truths, as we come to you as we are, knowing that we will never be refused the bounties of your grace. And draw us together now as a fellowship of your people as we say together the prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls, and everyone else. Today I'm going to talk to you about this stuff. Can anybody tell me what it is? Do you know what it is? What is? No? Can anybody else tell me what it is? It is rice.
Yes, that's right. Rice.
Now, this rice here is called Killenberry rice. Now, you may have seen it on your way into the church this morning. Killenberry rice, in my view, is the best rice in the world, or probably the best rice in the world, to steal somebody else's tagline. Now, it grows in a country called Malawi. Now, Malawi is right in the heart of Africa, and it's next to a great big lake called Lake Malawi. Now, today the Bible class are going to try and sell 90 kilos of this. So we need your support for that. Now, the money that is taken from the 90 kilos, every 90 kilos that is sold, allows one of the smallholding farmers to send their teenage child to secondary school for a year. So it's a very valuable thing that we're doing. Now, the Malawi is the third, well, by some standards, is the third poorest country in the world, and we are the 28th richest. So it's by some, there is arguments over that, but that is kind of the information I got. So when you think there's 195 countries in the world, and we're not there at number 28, and now they're down there at number 192, that's a country that needs our support. Now, they don't have toilets in their houses, so they're trying to do that. They're coping with global warming. They're coping with the lack of rainfall. So it's becoming more and more difficult all the time for them. But I would like three volunteers. Now, I would like one from the Junior Sunday Club, if somebody is willing to help me. Yes? You want to come out? Right, and now you've got a bun in your hair. This is maybe going to be a problem for you. But I'm going to put this on your head. This is 1 kilo of rice, okay? And now you can hold it because it's going to fall off because of that pretty bun. And I'm sorry, Mum, for ruining it. You can hold it on, all right? And I want you to walk up to the top and back down again, okay? I've only got one kilo, sorry. Right, can I get somebody from the Senior Sunday Club, please? Well done. Thank you very much. Right, Samuel, this is a 3 kilo bag of rice, okay? So you're not allowed to hold on, I don't think. No, maybe you better, just in case. Okay, so walk up to the top of the aisle, not back. You're doing very well. Yes, so you've managed to run. That's quite impressive. Is it heavy? Yes. Okay. It is quite heavy, isn't it? Thank you very much. Now, since I didn't know if I would get any volunteers or not, I have preordained a Bible class member, so Rory. Right, this is 15 kilos of rice, okay? I'm not going to ask you to put it in your head because I think there's probably health and safety implications, so I want you to take that and I want you to carry it up to the top of the aisle and back. Yeah. Yeah, a bit of support. Now, this 15 kilos of rice that Rory's carrying up and down the aisle, the people in Malawi, the smallholders and the people who work with them, have to carry that on their head for 7 kilometres to market because they've not all got the ways and means of transporting it otherwise. However, with everybody's support over the years, What they've been able to do is buy ox carts. At the moment, the community of the farmers have got about 30 ox carts, and they share it amongst all the smallholders. So they've now got ox carts which are pulled by cattle, and so that helps them to get their rice to the market. And these are all the things that we're paying for when we buy these products, fair trade products, and fair trade prices. We give fair trade prices for these products. Now, I was privileged recently to meet one of the farmers, Howard Masukwe, who is one of the smallholder farmers. And you have no idea how much they appreciate the support of the countries as their country develops. They have got many problems. We've got problems with our government, and they've got problems with lots of other things. But these people need our support. So carrying this rice made me think about another thing that we carry. And when you're little, you get some Bible stories. And you know some of your Bible stories. You know, what Bible stories do you know? Joshua, can you think of any Bible stories that you know? Joshua, yes. That's always one. What about Noah? Noah's Ark, yes. Right, so you know all of these stories, and you know about Jesus, and you know that Jesus loves you. Now, when you get a bit older, and you start to grow in your faith, and read your Bible, and come to church, come to Sunday club, Bible class, your knowledge gets greater and you're able to carry more out into the world. So you can go out there and you can tell people how good it is to be a Christian. You can tell people that Jesus loves you and that Jesus loves them. So whether you're taking a 1 kilo, 3 kilo or 15 kilo or an ox cart amount of knowledge out into the world, you can take that out to people and you can tell them all about what you know. You can all tell them all about how Jesus loves you and how God has made the world for them and how Jesus saved us all from our sins. Now, I want that every one of you, this includes the Bible class, right? Every one of you to think about that this week and tell somebody that Jesus loves them, okay? And tell them that it's something that they can be doing and going out and telling the world about God. We're now going to sing, can I just say, one of the Bible class, I want you to carry this 15 kilos of rice out for me when we're going, okay? Yes, thank you. Right, we're now going to sing our hymn, which is Our God Reigns.
We read together in the Word of God, first of all in the Scriptures of the Old Testament, in the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 46 and at verse 8. Isaiah 46 at verse 8. You'll find this on page 733 in the Pew Bible. The words of the prophet who says, "Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far-off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteous. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel." Thanks be to God. And again, in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 24 at verse 1. And this is page 1061 in the Pew Bible. Continuing today in a loose series that I've been pursuing in the preaching with the theme of remembrance. And here today, the account of Easter morning and the angels calling the women to remember what Jesus has told them. So we begin from verse 1 of chapter 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.'" Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Thanks be to God for his word to us, and may he give us that insight he wishes us to achieve. Let's join together, friends, to sing, "O Holy Dove of God descending, you are the love that knows no ending." Now let us pray. God, our Father, in all our incompleteness, in all our fragility, in all our lack of insight, still you wish us to have fuller understanding of all that has been done for us in Jesus and have a deeper experience of that love that flows through his life, his death, and his resurrection. So we pray for completeness today in our response to your word, that we will be changed, and that we will go forward with a clearer view of all that you are and all that you are continuing to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, folks, a wee while ago, I was chatting to someone. I'm quite sure he's not here today. But we were chatting about my preaching. And at one point, he said to me, he said, "Last Sunday, you said something really good." But I can't remember what it was. So how do you respond to something like that? Well, I suppose, you know, memory is a dodgy thing in many ways. And as we all know, as we get older, it becomes a wee bit more of a challenge. Not that I expect that everything that's said from this pulpit Lord's Day by Lord's Day is going to be remembered word for word. But what I've come to understand in relation to preaching, and there are a lot of mysterious things that come along with the whole process. What I've come to understand is that sometimes preaching is not for the moment. That, in a sense, what you might be doing is planting time bombs in people's minds and in their hearts. So that the words are heard and apparently forgotten. But there comes a day when that word which was apparently forgotten suddenly becomes relevant to particular circumstances. You know, it might be a time of crisis in the nation at large. It might be a time when we are going through particularly difficult circumstances, but suddenly it comes back. What was said weeks, months, even years before. And there's an explosion of comprehension, of celebration, and conviction. And I believe that those of us who are engaged in this most privileged of all tasks have to come to terms with that. That sometimes so much of what we're saying can be apparently forgotten, but who knows what God's Holy Spirit is going to do with that word in the years that lie ahead. And I suppose it's an encouragement to us all that even those who were closest to our Lord Jesus in his ministry, who listened to him probably on a daily basis, who spent so many hours with him as he unpacked the ancient scriptures, as he brought new insights into what the prophets were saying hundreds of years ago, even these people forgot the things that Jesus said to them until that moment when there was an explosion within themselves, and finally they understood and they saw very clearly what God was doing in their lives and what he had promised to do. And we see this really quite clearly in the words that the angel said to the women on the very first Easter day. They said, "Remember what he told you." They had forgotten what Jesus had told them concerning his death and his resurrection. And we think to ourselves, how is that possible? But they had forgotten. Remember what he told you. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then we're told they remembered. They remembered his words. Now, there wasn't that immediate explosion, perhaps. It was going to take its time before it all sunk in. But eventually, as they remembered his words and as they considered the things that had been happening in those recent days, they began to understand. And they began to experience the love of Jesus at the very heart of their lives. And I want us to return to these words of the angels this morning, friends. The words of the angels which encapsulated the teaching of Jesus to those he loved. Because it's so important for us to return to these words time and time again, so that we will never forget what is the core of the gospel. That Jesus was delivered into the hands of evil men. That he was crucified. And that he was raised again on the third day. Because it's as we focus on those core truths that people have believed down through the millennia, it's as we focus on these core truths that our faith becomes stronger. And our vision of the mission we are called to engage in becomes more sure. This is the gospel. And we must remember as the women remembered in that moment as they stood outside the empty tomb. The angels called upon them to remember Jesus delivered. Remember what he told you? They said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men. And you know how Jesus' death is so often portrayed for us. There were all these groups of people who existed at Jesus' time. There were the Pharisees, there were the Sadducees, there were the Herodians, there were the Romans. And they were all very different people. But they all shared one thing. They thought Jesus was a pest. And they wanted rid of him. And all these people came together, if you like, in a perfect storm of hatred against Jesus that bore him to the cross. And that, as far as it goes, is a good account of what happened. But the word tells us that Jesus was delivered into the hands of sinful men. He was delivered into the hands of sinful men. And the question arises, well, who delivered him? And I suppose the obvious answer is to say, well, Judas, the disciple who betrayed Jesus. But there's more to it than that. The Apostle John broadens our perspective of everything that happened on Good Friday. When he tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. It was God who delivered Jesus into the hands of sinful men. Behind that terrible demonstration of human cruelty was the love of God. The love of God for the world. It wasn't the sinful men who exerted control over Jesus. To some extent, yes. But the ultimate control was being exerted by God. And he was doing it for the good of us all. In a sense, what God was doing was taking the worst that was in humankind in order to bring the best for humankind. Forgiveness, renewal, the promise of eternal life. We sang it at the beginning of the service. Here is our hope. In the mystery of suffering is the heartbeat of love. Love that will not let go. God, behind the death of Jesus, using the worst in humankind in order to bring about the best for humankind. Maybe this is what the Apostle Peter is talking about in the first chapter of his first letter. He's writing to people who are being persecuted for their faith. And he calls upon them to rejoice in their faith even in the midst of their pain. And that's fine. You know, I'm quite happy to accept that challenge, to rejoice in the things I know to be true concerning Jesus. But then he goes on to say that there is a purpose in the persecution that they are suffering. That in the midst of suffering is the heartbeat of love. Because God is using the circumstances that they are going through at this moment in order that their faith might be strengthened. Here's your opportunity, says Peter, to show that this faith in Jesus that you proclaim is not just a theory, but that you believe that there is nothing in all creation that's ever going to separate you from God. That the heartbeat of love is in the midst of your suffering. And that your faith can be proved genuine in this moment. In the same way that fire burns up all the impurities in gold. Now that's a challenge for each and every one of us to take forward. I was speaking to Rico Tice when he did the Holy Week services here in Mulgine, and he was telling me about John Stott at that moment. He was a great Bible scholar and preacher. He was very ill at that moment, getting on in years, and Rico, being in his mid-20s, late-20s, went to visit him. And before the end of the visit, John Stott said to him, "Now before you go, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to pray that I'll be humble enough to accept what's happening to me in this moment." Now that's the faith of a man who knows his God, who trusts that God can take the worst of circumstances and bring about the best. And when we think of the worst, then we remember that Jesus was crucified. And the angels called upon the women on the first Easter morning to remember Jesus crucified. The Son of Man must be crucified. Now we know about crucifixion. And we know it was probably the worst method of torture that had ever been devised by men for men. The physical pain was unspeakable. A slow, slow death. But what was worse for Jesus was not the physical pain. What was worse for Jesus was that, having done nothing wrong, being the sinless Son of God, he was having to come into the presence of his eternal Father as the sin of the world and to receive on himself the judgment of God for the sin of the world. And that's why he was utterly terrified in the Garden of Gethsemane. "If there's another way of doing this, Father, please let it happen." But the justice of God had to be satisfied. The justice of God had to be satisfied. You know, we're always admiring people who pursue justice. And that is a very strong impulse within the psyche of a human being. You know, to feel that you have to see justice for something that's been done wrong. And you will not rest until you see justice. And God's justice had to be satisfied. Someone had to pay the price for sin. Someone had to be a ransom for many. And that's when Jesus steps forward. The sinless Son of God received the judgment of God upon sinful humankind because there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. A modern hymn says, "On the hill of Calvary, placed to end all hope of living, the most precious word of life breathed his last and died forgiving for the good of us all." In the midst of that suffering was the heartbeat of love. Through the blood, the sweat, the tears. We sometimes sing, "This the power of the cross." The power of the cross. He took the blame, bore the wrath, so that we could stand forgiven at the cross. And you know, I think, you know, speaking personally, that the most pressing spiritual need that I have at this moment is for that to sink more deeply into my psyche. In a sense, to grapple with that. That despite everything I know about myself and despite everything that other people might know about me, Jesus believed I was worth his death on the cross. And I think that's something that you need to let sink more deeply. Because it is something that we constantly grapple with, surely. And it's why Wesley's hymn is one of my favourites, when he sings, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood?" And the answer that I get from God's word is yes. Died he for me who caused his pain. For me, to him to death pursued. The word of God answers yes. And I say, amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? But that's the gospel. And it was made clear in the resurrection. I like to think of the light from the tomb scattering the darkness of Calvary and allowing people to see exactly what went on in the cross. The angels called the women to remember Jesus raised. The Son of Man will on the third day be raised again. Now, that didn't have an immediate impact. That's true. The women were baffled. The apostles thought they were talking rubbish. Peter decided that he was going to check it out anyway. And when he went there, he discovered that the tomb was empty. But even when he saw the empty tomb, he left it wondering, still wondering what was going on. But when the significance of it all dawned upon the souls of those who were closest to Jesus, then they had a new understanding of what life was all about. They understood what was their destiny. It wasn't just that the resurrection was good for Jesus. The resurrection was good for them also. Like Jesus, they were called to endure the sufferings of this life. They were called to go through the experience of death itself, but like Jesus, they were going to be renewed in body and mind and in spirit, so that they could take their place in a renewed creation along with Jesus. You know, I love the way that Paul speaks of this. You know, he talks about Jesus as being the elder brother in the family. And God presents him to humankind and says, now this is what's ahead of you. This is where you're going. To be renewed as Jesus has been renewed. To take your place with him in the renewed creation at the end of all things. Jesus, the prototype of a new humanity. Well, it's been a difficult week in the political world, I think we'll all agree. And so much conflict. But you know, that sometimes happens when honourable people are seeking to do their best, not just for themselves, but for others also. But it's just a pity that the best that they see sometimes doesn't coincide with the best that others see. Well, what's important for us, friends, as well as to pray for those that are dealing with these great issues in our time. What's important for us in the midst of it all also is to remember the resurrection of Jesus. To remember that God knows what is best for the whole of humankind. To remember that God will accomplish what is best for the whole of creation. And that he has given us the guarantee that he knows best. That's what Paul said about the resurrection. It's the guarantee that all those who sleep in death will also be raised, so that we can enjoy the completion and the perfection of the eternal kingdom. If I can risk this parting shot, an exit from all the shadows that fall upon us in this life and cause us pain. God knows what's best. God will achieve what's best for those he loves. Let's pray now together. Father, we thank you that you give us this great message to take to our hearts and to take to the world of which we are a part. And we pray that through our speaking and our doing, that glimpses of your kingdom will come upon minds and hearts and bring more and more people to trust in your ways with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together now, friends. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day.
Let us pray. Kind and merciful God, we thank you for your word to us today through Fergus. And we thank you for the opportunity we have each week to hear the gospel come alive. Lord, through your Holy Spirit, make us, the church, instruments of your love that demonstrate the power of Jesus to transform lives. We pray that the church here in Scotland, the people of God, may never cease to proclaim by its teaching, life and liturgy that love of God found in Jesus, where our resurrection hope is found. And we thank you especially for our church here in St. Paul's and Balderneck. Help us to be inspired like the early church and tell other people about Christ, relying not on our own cleverness or skills of persuasion, but the power of your Holy Spirit to give us words to speak to others. So loving and gracious God, as we make our offering today, we do not just bring you our money. We bring ourselves. We bring our fellowship, praying that you will use all we do and all we say and all we are for the growth of your kingdom and the fulfillment of your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And hear us now as we pray for our world and for others. We pray for the people of California who have been affected by the wild forest fires. We pray for those that have lost loved ones, those who no longer have a place to call home, and those that are displaced, sleeping in tents. Lord, we pray for help to come to those in need and for the rescue agencies. Lord, we pray that we will have room in our hearts and in our prayers and in our homes for refugees and strangers, that we may learn to share our goods and ourselves with those on the outskirts and in need. People loved by God, but forgotten by others. Lord, make us instruments of your love. Lord, we pray for those people that have become bitter and resentful due to unpleasant life circumstances, who don't know how to forgive, those who have not experienced much happiness in life, or whose longings have not been fulfilled. We pray that they may encounter a bit of God's goodness in our attention and care, and that they may come face to face with the living Christ. Lord, make us instruments of your love. Lord, we pray that in our Christian communities we may uplift one another rather than tear down, accept each other with trust and affection, forgive one another like we have been forgiven. Help us to go forward together with others in hope and in the love of Christ. Lord, make us instruments of your love. And Lord, we pray for those afflicted in body, enduring physical pain, overwhelmed by disease, waiting for an operation or further treatment, and fearful of what the future may hold, or living with the knowledge of an illness. Lord, make us instruments of your love to those in need of tenderness, care, and compassion. Lord God, in the weeks and in the months ahead, help us to love you and one another with your measure, that is, without measure. And we ask this in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn of this morning, hymn 436, Christ Triumphant Ever Reigning.
Now may you go in peace to experience the heartbeat of love in every circumstance, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore.